Moreno. Thank you. We'll begin with a roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno.
Here.
Councilmember Kelly.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Next item is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We have no presentations this evening, so we'll go to our consent calendar. Is there any member of the council wishing to pull an item?
I'd like to pull number 3.
Number 3. Any other council members? Any member of the public wishing to pull an item on the consent calendar, which are considered routine? Okay, thank you. We'll entertain a motion on the remaining items on the consent calendar, excluding item 3.
So moved. Second.
I have a motion by Councilwoman Fonzie, seconded by Councilwoman Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We have item 3 on the consent calendar polled by Councilman Kelly, Proposition 1B, Remaining Project Funding Reprioritization. Why don't we begin with any questions you have, Councilman Kelly,
and I would staff. Just probably like to make a statement. I think I'd like to follow more standard business practices and at least have a work order, a bid, or you know what each of these items are really going to cost. We're just dealing out over $100,000. We don't have any estimates on the overlay. We don't even know if we really have enough money to do any of this stuff. I don't think a delay in time is going to hurt anything. It at least get some approximate prices back. I think the lake overview, the public works can figure out the square footage, and it's pretty common in the industry how much that would cost a square footage. And maybe in just an estimate on the crosswalk devices, how much they cost. I would just like to see a bill before I pay it.
Start the project. Council has to allocate the funds to specific projects. Public Works staff has estimated the cost of the project based on their engineering and their various expertise in the area. When the projects are actually awarded, we will bring that back to council at that time. The Lakeview Overlay Project, this is actually adding funds to that project to expand and kind of, we already have budgeted funds. This is an ability to expand the scope of that a little bit and get there and to use some of those Proposition 1B funds up first so that, again, if there's any remaining funds. But the whole budget for that project will be brought back to you when we award the grant. I don't know if Doug would like to add anything.
Yeah, just that we have engineer's estimate on the crosswalk improvements is $45,000. And $66,000 remaining of the $111,000 would be placed on the Lakeview Street Overlay Project. And the engineer's estimate on that project is somewhere around $250,000 and it is a budgeted project. So we have this leftover 1B money, and we would like to assign it to improving the crosswalks on El Camino Real, estimated cost of about $45,000, and then the other $66,000 would go to the Lakeview project, which is already designed, and we're just waiting for spring to come. We held it off this year due to the lake sediment removal.
Thank you. I also see questions by Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yes, a question for our city engineer. I'm assuming that this will still go out for bid, so it could come in for less than this amount?
That's correct.
And I know that these are for crosswalks that are needing to be lit. We already have them lit, but they're having some issues, so they needed to be replaced.
The current crosswalks have, I forget how many years they've been there, but they've lived their useful life, and we're having difficulty acquiring parts for maintenance. So they were first generation lighted crosswalks. So this would upgrade the crosswalks and give us an opportunity to have better availability for spare parts.
And in your mind, is there a hurry-up issue for this that needs to be done soon for public safety?
No. Well, the crosswalks are working. It's just when they stop working, it takes us a while to get them working again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other council questions or comments, I'll open it up to the public. Any member of the public wishing to...
House.
I believe it's underneath the signature authority, so it wouldn't have to come back.
Right. It would not come back to council.
Okay. Thank you. Any other council comments or questions? I would entertain a motion on consent calendar item number 3.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Sometimes it's good to have some more information clarified on consent calendar items. So now we will move on to updates from our city manager.
Whoops. Thank you, Mayor and City Council members. I want to talk a little bit about apparently ZooBoo first. We had 942 paying customers at this year's ZooBoo. That's a fantastic turnout for our ZooBoo. And according to zoo staff, the event went very, very well. That's a fun evening here at our zoo with lots of games for the children. Get to see a lot of our nocturnal animals up and moving around at night, and a good time for all. The zookeepers put a lot of time and effort into developing new games and activities and decorations for the event, and the zoo looked fantastic. I don't know if anybody's been out there, but with it all decorated for Halloween, it's a fun place to be. The gift shop also did very well, and that's a good event. We should put it on our calendars for next year. It's always the last Saturday before Halloween. And Colony Days was another fun event. This year was the 41st annual Colony Days Parade, and the community celebration went off without a hitch. Our council members rode on our, I think it's a Model A fire engine. Help me out with that. Yes. Model A fire engine like they always do, and it's always a very popular entry. This year's event included lots of fun and family-friendly contests and games, which included a pie-eating contest, sack races, tug-of-war, and old-fashioned spelling bee. The vendor booths all appeared to have lots of visitors, and we also had 300 third graders here at City Hall on the Friday before Colony Days. They went and visited Tent City and City Hall, and that was truly a treat. These were the most well-behaved third graders I think I've ever met in my life. They very respectfully went through the City Hall and seen all of 29,500 cubic yards of sediment was removed. You look out there and it doesn't look like that much. It is a lot of dirt. Basically, you could cover a football field 14 feet deep from end to end. That's how much dirt was removed. Or we could fill about 10 Olympic-sized swimming pools with water. So that's how much we increased the capacity of the lake. It was a fantastic project. I was told each scoop from the excavator was about 5 cubic yards of dirt. I've had people say, hey, why couldn't we just, you know, put it in our pickup trucks and drive it off? Well, if you had 275 of your friends that had 1-ton pickup trucks, you guys could go out and each take a ton out every hour for about 3 weeks, and you'd be good. That excavator took about 5 scoops to fill each truck. 11 trucks per hour went through there, and they were working continuously. So a lot of dirt. We're excited. We really think this is going to help with the lake water quality. Coming up, Veterans Day ceremony at the Veterans Memorial. Veterans Memorial Foundation will hold the 2014 Faces of Freedom Veterans Day ceremony on Tuesday, November 11th. The ceremony will be held at the Veterans Memorial on Mora Road beginning at 11 a.m., and the public is invited to attend. There will be music and possibly a barbecue following the ceremony there at the Lake Park. It's a moving event, and the public's invited. We hope you can join us. ice skating rink. There's always questions about the ice skating rink. The owner indicates that he plans to have the ice skating rink reopened to the public by the first week of November. So it is coming.
Tuesday.
The tent covering's been restored, and the appearance of the site is much improved. We're excited to have that back open. Pictures posted on their Facebook page at 8 a.m. this morning show they were making ice. So we borrowed these from that, so that's exciting. We also had Citywide Cleanup Day. Citywide Cleanup Day was a huge success. Over 60 loads of green waste and over 100 loads of trash were accepted at the yard on Garbata Avenue, and staff filled three 20-yard trash containers during the event. And last but not least, Historic City Hall Restoration Project. On November 20th, we will be heading up to Sacramento to receive the prestigious American Public Works Association Project of the Year. And so the building, which came in significantly under budget, and we're all proud of here in Atascadero, continues to receive both statewide and nationwide recognition. So we're excited. I'm going to have Chief tell you a little bit about the Lighthouse Reality Tour that was here this weekend. If I could turn it over to Chief.
Absolutely. We held the Lighthouse Reality Tour with the assistance of personnel from the school district, the fire department, the police department, community volunteers. Councilwoman Randall was involved as well. It was a great event. We held this one at the community center on Sunday. And for those of you not familiar with the reality tour, we do our best to try and educate parents and their children to the dangers of drug usage. We take them through a simulation of what it would be like for a child to first get started using drugs through the addiction process up to and including a simulated funeral for somebody who has actually had an overdose and passed away from the use of narcotics. We have Probation Officer Jared Freitas come in, educate parents about narcotics, what to look for, what the effects of those drugs are, so that the parents can be educated about what they see their children doing and bringing home. And then we also have somebody who has been addicted to drugs and is currently fighting that disease of addiction come in and just talk to our young people and adults alike about what the dangers are and why they shouldn't get involved in it in the first place and how it's negatively affected their lives. I think with what we've seen this weekend with the tragic accident involving a driver who was under the influence of marijuana and spice, something this council was proactive on early on, I think that it's high time for people to get involved in the reality tour is one way of doing that, and for parents to get educated, and that's really the main reason we do this. It's highly successful. Heard from a parent who was involved and said it was tremendously impactful on both her and her son, and she was very grateful that we worked to put that on. So, great event.
Thank you. And working back in reverse order, we do want to thank Chief Haley and all of the police officers that have volunteered time in this program. And thank you, Councilman Moreno, for being involved. I did want to reiterate the Veterans Day event is on Tuesday. A lot of folks have wondered if it's on Monday because it has been in the past. But it is clear that, it, according to you all, learning about the roots of our city. So thank you all for all of your participation. Moving on, next item is community forum, where anyone can speak on any topic not on the agenda this evening. Welcome, Pastor Shively.
Good evening, Mayor and Council and staff and audience here. I'm Pastor Steve Shively from Refuge Church on Portola Road, and I want to pray for the meeting tonight, read a scripture verse, but before I do that, want to invite the public out to our annual harvest party this Friday night. It's from 6 p.m. till 8:30-ish, 9-ish. And I think we've done this for about the last dozen years. Game booths, slides, well-lit, just a really good night. Usually have a lot of kids come through there. So if anyone's listening on radio or whatever, just want to personally invite them to come out, enjoy themselves, and a lot less chance of getting, you know, into whatever will happen on the sidewalkless streets of Atascadero, so, which we love. I'd like to read out of John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Jesus speaking here, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and night that you have put before us. We thank you for all of the provisions that you have blessed us with, Lord, for putting us in a beautiful place to live, God. And Lord, it is our desire here, Lord, to be good stewards of this place and to bring honor to your name in the way that it is cared for and in the activities in it, Lord. We thank you for our government. We thank you for our city council, our mayor, our staff. And we want to pray your blessings upon them. We want to pray that you'll give them wisdom in the decisions set before them. And Lord, that we would be a people, Lord, that would show respect to one another. Lord, that you would bless the things that are discussed here tonight, and they'd be said in a manner that would be considerate of others. Also, Father, I thank you for sending your Son. And Jesus, I thank you for the work of the cross, that any who would call upon your name could receive forgiveness and salvation and everlasting life through the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Cost overrun on the Walmart Annex project, $7 to $8 million at the most recent estimate, and criticized your plan to go to SLOCOG, the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, for additional funding and a broader and wider and larger bailout for the Walmart Annex project. The mayor said that those of us who were speaking were sowing confusion and disinformation. During community forum, the ex-mayor, Ray Johnson, got up and said that that was our money in SLOCOG coming back to us. And the mayor afterwards reiterated what Mr. Johnson had said, identifying him by name, after which Ms. Ricard, the city manager, stated that SLOCOG money is our money coming back to us. So I wrote to SLOCOG and received an email back from the executive director of SLOCOG, a copy of which you all have in front of you now. And I will read to you, this is exactly the email that I received in answer to my question about where the money comes from and whose money it is. Fact is, it's state and federal taxpayer money, just as we had claimed at your last city council meeting, contrary to the statements that were being made by city officials. I will just read the bolded section of the email. "All funding allocated by SLOCOG is derived from state and federal taxpayer money, period. Sentence two, all funding we receive that are allocated for highway-related interchange improvements is now currently derived only from state fuel taxes. Signed by Ronald L. DeCarli, the executive director of the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments." So what we were saying at your last city council meeting is a fact. You're asking for money to bail out the Walmart Annex project and casting a broader net across the state for state taxpayer money and across the nation for federal taxpayers' money to bail out the Walmart Annex project. So as far as who is sowing confusion and misinformation, as if we were approaching you and wasting everybody's time lying, we're either liars or stupid, fight that deal and get Walmart and Annex to pay for the road improvements at the Del Rio 101 interchange. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Mitch Paskin. I live on San Marcos Road in Atascadero. And I'm back here again about the Oak Ridge Estates project. I'm sorry, better? Not all, you know, along with the Walmart project, the city's obligated to repair 1.7 miles of roads outside the Oak Ridge Estates project, the offsite roads that are being ripped apart by construction vehicles. And using Wallace Group numbers, Wallace Group is somebody that you guys have hired recently to work on the Walmart project, so it must be good numbers, that it's going to cost upwards of $3 million to repair those roads. The city's obligated to pay 75% of all road damage on 1.7 miles. Now, 30% of that project has been completed. There's another 70 homes to be built, and so the roads are going to continue to be ripped up. The city's going to continue to have to rebuild those roads. And last time I was here, the mayor denigrated my comments by saying, oh, you know, we've heard this before, and he turned it over to Mr. Frace, and Mr. Frace says, oh, you know, we're working closely with the developer to solve this problem. And that's exactly what I've been saying for 9 years, working closely with the developer. You work closely with the developer when you okayed and approved walkways in Paradise Valley that don't exist. You work closely with the developer to downgrade all the safety measures at the Highway 41 and Los Altos intersection. By the way, those still waiting for the state to come back to see if there were violations of ethics by the engineers that the city and the Castle Rock paid for. The city worked closely with the developer on curve widening, where the three most dangerous curves were not touched because my guess is they're too expensive. Okay? So when Mr. Frey says we're working closely with the developer, I truly believe it. There's much more stuff that could be said, but you've heard it all before. I don't know. I hope it's not the new tax. The road tax, if it gets approved, is not going to be used to put into the developer's pocket. Okay? And the oversight committee from this audience and myself are going to put more money into his pocket. Okay? Thank you very much.
Welcome. Next speaker.
I get his 18 seconds. Oh, there we go. I'm Ellen Burrell. Well, first I'm going to let you know I just came from a water polo game, and the boys beat Paso Robles. We all liked that, 15-5, so that was an exciting game to watch. Of course, I'm here about the election, and I've heard a lot of concerns about Measures E and F, and I want to say that I support Measures E and F because I know from being on the council that we need every dollar we can get to work on our roads. And a lot of the concern is people aren't comfortable with who makes the decisions on where that money goes. So I'm encouraging everyone to get out and vote for the council members that they believe will do the job. And of course, I'm supporting Lynn Colomarino. I think he has the experience, and he's also pledged to not use one dime for the Del Rio exit. So we need to pass those two measures. And speaking of the roads, I'm sure everyone's noticed how many new potholes there are lately. I don't know what it is. Is it just because it's the election? But I just want to give accolades to Public Works because they've been working really hard to keep that under control before they completely fall apart. So in addition to Measures ENF, we have to think about that the Del Rio, I can't believe we're still talking about Walmart after all these years, but the Del Rio Walmart Annex Project, whatever you want to call it, it's a huge, huge issue that's not going to go away in the next 6 months. Even if we get SLOCOG involved, we're talking up into 2020. We're talking years and years. So it's really important that we have council members that we feel are going to make the right decision. I've had problems with the current council not making right decisions. That's why I'm voting for Lynn Colomarino. I think that his tenacity as an attorney, his clear head to question the fiscal risks involved are key factors in voting for a council member at this time. So once again, please get out and vote. It's kind of an off-year election. Some people say, oh, it's not that important. But, you know, in our city, it's always important to vote. It's important to that your voice is heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
The Tribune also endorsed the need for change in Atascadero, the need to change the personnel leading our city. And I think the evidence of that grows every day. We, for example, have heard recently that there are excuses being offered for the gross blunder made in connection with the approval of the Walmart Annex project with terms that were very risky right from the beginning. And I was the only one who recognized that at the time. I was the only one who spoke about it at the time. But, you know, people make mistakes. It's important how they handle those mistakes. And what we're seeing is an unrepentant group of city council members who are saying that, I'm not clairvoyant. You can't expect us to be clairvoyant. Well, certainly, I don't pretend to be clairvoyant, but I saw the risks. Clairvoyance was not required. It was what was required was a calm, clear head that looked past the political, popular parts of the project and said, does this make sense? Are these terms too risky for us? And there were many people who talked about those risks, but they were ignored, including me. Anyway, we're also hearing about how business is so good in town. And again, this is part of a culture that says, we're not going to improve things. We're going to tell you things are good enough just the way they are, because we just want business as usual. Anybody with eyes can see that we have problems in our business district. Just drive down the road, you see empty buildings, you see places where businesses have failed, they've never gotten off the ground. It's obvious. The data, anybody who follows things at all in terms of our local affairs knows that Atascadero is always at the bottom when it comes to sales tax revenues. And they know that we have a problem in terms of providing shopping opportunities for our residents. Let's face the reality. Business as usual isn't good enough. Please vote for me for Atascadero City Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Charles Scoville, mayoral candidate of Darrow, have not only limited our access to the Republican headquarters in town, but initiated their letter-writing campaigns to discredit all candidates who are running against their power team. As I've always heard, follow the money. It's clear where these organizations have directed their money in order to keep their control of Atascadero. This has been a real education for me, and I hope for the residents of Atascadero as well. Two amazing things have become known. First, at an interview session conducted by the Tribune, my opponent, Tom O'Malley, informed us all that he walks on water except during election season. That was an eyebrow raiser for all in the room. I hope when Atascadero Lake fills up, Mr. O'Malley will display his talent to all. This may be the event that Atascadero needs to put us on the tourism map. Second, which is most disturbing, is his revelation a couple of weeks ago on the radio show Sound Off that he couldn't even tell what the city's operating budget was. You would think that after 12 years on the council and 4 years of serving as mayor and his self-proclaimed knowledge of economics that he would know the city's operating budget. This should be a great concern to all regarding the financial decisions Mr. O'Malley has made. Is this why he orchestrated a no-bid garbage contract for the city or supported the Del Rio off-ramp overrun that the city now faces? One would have to wonder what his real intent of my opponent is for being on the council. Is it for the betterment of Atascadero or the betterment of Tom O'Malley? I suggest that everyone start scheduling their events at Atascadero Lake and not the Portola Inn. I may not win this election as I do not have the power team behind me or the money that has been directed towards my opponent, although if elected, I will bring a fresh new look to the city council. I do agree with the Tribune that Atascadero is in need for change. I will serve all the people of Atascadero, not just my special constituents that can advance my personal agenda. I ran for mayor of Atascadero to bring light to the mismanagement of Atascadero and voice the concerns of most citizens who are disturbed by the lack of economic development as well as the lack of community events and community engagement by this administration. The time for talk and focus group workshops is over. Please join me in making Atascadero the heart of the Central Coast again and vote Charles Scoville for mayor November 4th and get the community that we all deserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Mayor O'Malley and Council. I have a couple things I wanted to talk about today. One is, and Gerald touched on it, the accident on Highway 1 between Cambria and Morro Bay. On the TV, and she said that the group was hooked on spice, and I'm just glad that our city has got an ordinance now and Lompoc. And what I'd like to see is, I know that Marcia sent one copy to Debbie Arnold of our ordinance, and I would like Marcia to send all the supervisors a copy of this ordinance. So we need to stamp out this damn stuff in our town and in San Luis Obispo County. And Tom, I know you said that you were going to take it to the mayor's group, and I hope you've done that, and I hope you would be able to take them all a copy of our ordinance. It's a darn good ordinance, and we don't need to reinvent the wheel, and we need to wipe this stuff out of our community, and those deaths are unnecessary, and it's a shame. And I got one other thing here. We need to stop the blame game in regards to the Del Rio $7.5 million overrun. Let's stop crying over spilt milk. We need to take an attitude that we're going to put together a negotiating team, and we're going to renegotiate with Walmart and the Madonna Group and Caltrans and Slocog and the city and whatever, and get this done. It's as simple as that. They give us some really bad information on that $4.5 million, and probably were a little anxious. We should have questioned it. I was part of it, but now we need to put together a good team to go in there and negotiate this. And Bob Kelly is one of the best. I mean, he renegotiated the Marriott deal when it was dead in the water, and hopefully Bob would be on that team. And then I'd just like to say to the other folks out there, this is election time. You need to put people on the council that you feel will do the best job of negotiating and get this $7.5 million or whatever it is, get it sectioned out where people are paying their fair share. And of course, I'm supporting Chuck Ward. He's got a wonderful business mind,
thank you.
I think he'd be one heck of a negotiator. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
And Linda Hady, the president of Chamber of Commerce here in Atascadero. And I was sure hoping some of the people would start sharing the good news about town and not all the negative about town, when 65% is saying our hurdle here in town is people that are saying the negative news versus the positive. At least try to share some positive that's happening in town. When we did that survey in 65%, we have work to do. We've recognized that. We've identified some areas that we can help at the chamber, help the businesses with a business center. We have some great things coming down the pike that we hope to do an even better job. So we're not saying everything's great in Tascadero. There's some hurdles, but we're identifying that. And please try to start sharing the positive news. We need it. We're a great town. People really love to live here. So I just wanted to share that. But also invite the public to bring your kids downtown on Entrada on Friday night for Halloween at 5:30 to 8. The Main Street works really hard to get community vendors out there, lots of candy, some great stuff out there. So show your community support. It's a safe environment for your children to come to, and we look forward to seeing you there. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. My name is Dana Cummings. I am running for the school board to be a trustee on the board, and I just wanted to come here tonight, say a couple word of thanks to Councilwoman Fonzie, Councilman Kelly for their endorsements. I'd also like to thank Sheriff Parkinson for his endorsement this week. I've been endorsed by several leaders in our community, and I think it's, they should be thanked publicly, and I wanted to use this opportunity to do that. I also wanted to talk a few minutes about some of the stuff that's on the ballot. I really hope that everyone will come out and vote on November 4th. I also want to see the bond for the roads get done. I think that's a huge thing that we need to see go through. I know I shared last time, my road could definitely use some assistance up on Vita Ave, and I've talked to the chief and I've talked to the fire department as well about how narrow it is and my fear that emergency vehicles won't be able to get through there. So I hope that does go through. I also want to reiterate what I said last time about B14. It's on the measures, the reauthorization of the bond that went through in 2010 to redo our schools and improve the infrastructure of all of our schools. That has a huge impact on not only the schools but our community, in that it will save us millions of dollars in interest. And so that I hope that the voters will come out and support that. It's a paramount thing we need. We need those schools fixed. We need to be able to have our kids and our staff to have quality buildings, quality equipment to work in. And so I really want to see that happen. And I just want to say, again, thank you to everyone that's come out and supporting the community, for not only for myself running for school board, but the other candidates that are running in this election. Regardless, it's all over next week. So hopefully we could all get along again after.
My son, Whitney, who's with Doctors Without Borders and frequently calls me from Cairo, Egypt. And he says, Pop, remember, keep the high road. And I've tried to do that. In fact, I'm not even upset at the people that have been stealing many of my campaign signs. And I'd like to tell them, hold on to those. They're going to become collector's items. And if I get on the city council, they're really going to be collector's items, because you can come up and I'll autograph them for you. But I'll tell you what I'm really upset about, and that's what this is. These are beautiful 3-foot by 2-foot patriotic fan flags. And they were stolen along with my campaign signs, and they were behind the Your American Heritage Monument. I have filed a police report. I have posted a $200 reward, and I've had several citizens call me up and says they're going to match that. So if you have any information, call me, and we'll try to get to the bottom of it. Now, with regard to the brouhaha over the Walmart annex thing, I can tell you from my long years of experience in corporate America, some of the best corporations of America have put together contracts that, when conditions change, they turned out to be not that good. It's not shameful. It happens all the time. But what is shameful is if you don't sit down and do something about it. And what the top corporations do, they put together a team, they effectively and they competently renegotiate those contracts. And I believe that the parties involved are in good faith, they want to do business here, and I believe the right strategy will make that happen. Happy talk is not going to make it happen. So anyway, I think it's been an interesting campaign. I want to thank all those who have effectively competed against me. You're up there. You're tough campaigners, and I've enjoyed the experience. And to my good police chief here, maybe we can do a little detective work and find out who's stealing these wonderful patriotic symbols, because that's just plain not right. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one else approach, we will close public comment. Portion of the. Again, I think with Del Rio and Walmart, I've certainly been involved with that for well over 8 years now. And the two things I've always promised, we're going to keep having more public discussion than any other city I know of in the state. We'll continue to have this dialogue. And we will do cost benefit analysis. Once we have all of the information, we will make a decision. And, of course, until we have final numbers, we really can't make a decision. And that's what we are waiting for, and that's the process we're going through. I'm going to ask staff to kind of clarify at least the three categories of funding involved with Walmart. There's more if you look at projected income. But I think there's a lot of misunderstanding of the development impact fees that we charge to do full cost recovery, so we're not shifting costs onto existing residents. That's one category of funding. Additionally, there's the funding that you hear about, the only funding that was discussed in the Tribune article about the negotiated amount that is a percentage of the construction for the aspects of the overpass on the other side of the freeway, and that is capped, and it is at a percentage that turns out to be more than any other large boxes paid in the county. But a third category that folks are not really clear on is an amount that is not capped, and it is a line item
of many major highway components, like improvements along El Camino, like the roundabout on our side, the Walmart side of Del Rio. Those are items that are required for the Walmart and Annex to pay for, and they have to cover all of the costs, and those costs are not capped. Those are the ones associated with the main impact related to Walmart. So, and it's true, the funding that comes through San Luis Council of Governments that I've sat on for a number of years, I've chaired that organization, those are the state and federal funds that come back to our region to be used for major projects in our region, in our county. Every major freeway project in our county has received San Luis Obispo Council of Governments funds. They are our funds. We're all taxpayers in here. Those funds come back to the region and are allocated by this organization. You didn't hear about the $30 million spent for the 41-101 overpass that we completed because no one got a bill in the mail for that. You can see how much money has been allocated for every freeway project in our county, and so that is typical. There's so much that could be said, but again, I think if you could clarify some of the questions specifically around the Del Rio, because Mr. Broadwater, Ms. Barrow, Mr. Colomarino, or at least those folks brought up questions regarding that. So if you can help clarify that some more, that would be great.
If you can help me with the, if I missed specific questions. I did hear you ask about me to clarify a little bit about the types of fees that Walmart and the Annex are required to pay. They are required to pay our standard traffic impact fee, and that's going to be around $2.9 million. This is per current conditions. As we've talked about, the project is conditioned to pay this at this point in time. So standard traffic impact fees of about $2.9 million. In addition, they're required to pay about $2.4 million in special interchange fees. And that's where we use the estimated cost for the Del Rio to come in. What we did is we did a traffic survey that determined how much of the future traffic on Del Rio would be generated by Walmart and the Annex projects. And altogether, that was going to be about 53% of the total traffic on there. Some of the traffic on that interchange will be generated by future projects that are not yet built. Some of the traffic generated on that interchange is generated by current traffic. So what we did to arrive at the $2.4 million is we took 53% of the $4.5 million cost estimate to get there. But overall, Walmart and the Annex, between the special traffic impact fees and the standard traffic impact fees, was conditioned to pay around $5.3 million. That included the $200,000 overrun per thing. In addition to that, they are required to do other improvements in the area. They're required to build a third roundabout at El Camino Real in Del Rio. That they will build. The city does not fund that. They build that and must have it built before they come in. They must install a new signal at El Camino Real and the driveway that will be serving Walmart. They'll be required to install a new signal light at El Camino Real and San Anselmo North. They're going to improve about a half a mile.
That in addition to the funding the Tribune talked about, the portion that relates to the freeway improvements on the other side of Del Rio or El Camino, the road impacts that are attributed specifically to Walmart, that is the roundabout around Del Rio and any impact along El Camino, all of those are required to be paid for by Walmart and the Annex before they can open, and they have to pay all the costs, and those costs are not capped.
That is correct. They have to install those improvements. They have to pay 100%, and those costs are not capped. They are whatever they cost them to do those improvements.
So then in addition to the impacts considered attributable to Walmart, they also have to contribute the general impact by full development of the whole interchange, and that's where they pay a percentage, because again, by law, you can only attribute to them the percentage of impact to the larger overpass. And that is where other businesses, as they come in, will be required to put in their portion as well.
I believe that's correct. So when you arrived at the special traffic impact fee, that was based on their portion of the traffic of the 53% that the Annex and Walmart will generate, and they'll have to pay that in addition to their standard traffic impact fee that's charged by the city for improvements. Typically, when a business moves in, they just pay the standard traffic impact fee to account for the traffic from their business. Because this is a larger project, we went through the EIR process, we did a lot more studies. That's when we added the special traffic impact fee in addition to the standard one. The council has not put a reimbursement district in place for future businesses that come in. That is something that I would anticipate staff would eventually bring you as part of the funding process as we get a little bit further into this project. Remember, we're very, very early in the process, but we will be bringing you different options as we go along. That would be typical, is that you want future major developments to pay their fair share of the interchange also, and so we would be bringing that to you.
Yeah, so basically we still have the opportunity to renegotiate several of these aspects, but first we actually have to get the final costs that can be locked in. That's the process we're going through still. Well, we'll be talking about it more, as Councilman Bayrou had said, that we'll be talking about this for at least a couple more years, unfortunately. Were there any items related to Mr. Paskin that you would want to cover? Again, I know we have discussed this before. He's brought up some of these points before. Is there anything you think you could help clarify on that?
I would have to turn that over to Warren and Doug. Is there anything you think you could add to that?
I don't think we necessarily have any new information to add to that discussion. The project has a very lengthy series of conditions of approval that were established back in 1995. They were amended again by the City Council this year. There's been a number of traffic studies that have been done to look at traffic issues both on-site and off-site. And right now we're in the process of working with the developer to implement the conditions of approval on the project.
Thank you. Well, normally we don't accept comments from the after public comment is closed, but the question has been raised about $3.5 million. Can you shed any light on that topic?
I believe that number has to do with some estimates for off-site improvements on both San Marcos and Los Altos roads. So some of those are responsibilities of the developer. Some are responsibility of the city. That's something that Public Works is looking into right now. As part of the council's 2014 amendment, there was a new agreement for the developer to make improvements on Los Altos Road that was not part of the original 1995 agreement. So that was one of the benefits of the recent amendment, is that now the developer is actually obligated to make improvements on Los Altos Road in addition to the improvements at the Los Altos Road Highway 41 intersection.
Thank you. And I would encourage the public, we often get emails asking questions about various things. Unfortunately, I always tell folks, you know, most of the answers to the questions we get cannot fit on a bumper sticker. So if you would give us an email putting your question in to whatever detail you can present it. And this is an exciting program for which I have to step down because I happen to own property near this site and so legally cannot participate in the discussion. So I'll turn it over to Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant. Thank you.
Do we have to wait for Tom to leave before the staff report? Okay. All right. We can do that. So we'll wait for Mayor O'Malley to go back to the... back to his cubbyhole. Oh, he gets to be in the audience. Oh, good, good. That's cool. So once he's now he's part of the public, where staff report, please, on the Colony Park inclusive playground design. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Sturtevant and Council. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you with the hopefully one of the final instances that we'll have to appear before you on this project. We are at the point where we're asking Council tonight to review and approve a design for a playground project that started quite some time ago. I'd like to take you on a little bit of a history lesson, if I could, just to kind of bring you from where we were to where we are now, make sure that everybody's up to speed on this project and how we got to where we are tonight, and then go into a little bit about the design, what it was, what it has become, and some input that we got from our Parks and Rec Commission for the design. We also have the applicant here tonight that's more than happy to answer some questions, make a statement to council, and has a little presentation of their own that they'd like to go through. There we go. As you'll recall, now over a year ago in May of 2013, the full council at that time, was approached by a group of citizens who were concerned about the fact that within Atascadero, our park system did not include a park that was able to be utilized by all of our children. There were several of our children that were identified at that meeting as having special needs that for one reason or another were not able to utilize our park system to the fullest extent. They had a request of council at that time that the council consider approving a project or directing staff to start looking into a project that would ultimately end up where we are now with the special needs playground. It's a little bit misnamed, and I'll get into that in just a second. A better term for it would be an inclusive playground, one where children of all abilities could participate together in the activities. Council directed staff at that time to begin to work with this group of parents and start looking into this project idea, see what the feasibility was to create a park. We began working with the parents group initially just to try and identify what possible site locations there were for a park of this type. We already have two pretty active parks, one at Paloma Creek and one at the Lake Park. And so we needed to coexist with this park. As we started looking at the location, though, we recognized early on that the master plan for Colony Park didn't quite look like the park as it existed in its current form. And so we came back to council in January of 2014 and asked council to kind of review and look at the Colony Park master plan, determine whether some of the changes we were requesting were appropriate. And you'll see on this slide a rendering of what the Colony Park master plan was. And for those of you who have been out there any time recently, you'll notice that it doesn't quite look like the as-built park as we know it now. Softball fields are a little out of place. The basketball courts don't look right. And some of the areas denoted where the small number two is just don't look like they're built. And so here's an overview of what the park actually looks like in its current form and what the council approved in the modification to the January 2014 master plan amendment was that we designate the areas here as built as our new master plan, and that's what we have now. Primarily, we're concerned about the spot that in this drawing, this rendering, is designated with the dotted lines. And you see that the small number two in the photograph of the picture in front of you now is the area specifically that we've identified as the location where we want to put this inclusive park, or excuse me, inclusive playground. It's very close to the existing building with bathroom facilities and water. Nearby, we have some picnic facilities. We have the basketball courts. And then there's a pad directly adjacent to the grassy area that the city has future plans to build kind of a water splash park feature sometime down the road. And we think that those two would go very well together and really create a destination point for the Colony Park for people in the summertime or any time of year to come and enjoy our facilities. Once the master plan was approved, we started working with the parents group again, who have renamed themselves, kind of rebranded themselves a little bit. They're now known as Parents for Joy. Anybody who's been in Atascadero over the course of the last couple of months has seen some of their banners. There's a couple of cars driving around that have Parents for Joy written all over them. We initially thought it was some graffiti taking place, but they seem to have done that themselves, trying to get the word out. They have a great website, great Facebook page. Parents for Joy is operating through another couple of different vendors. They've identified vendors that were able to put together bids for them and put together packages for them to look at designs. We, as the city, were involved in that process, kind of from the ground floor, had the ability to look at some of those designs. Great vendors, great product that they were able to put together, but one stood out from among the rest, and that's who Parents for Joy have decided to work with on this project, and that's the vendor Game Time. Game Time has the ability, rather than going with kind of as-built types of play structures, they have the ability to kind of specially design a play structure to meet the needs of the community or location where they're putting in the playground facility. And so we have, since that time, worked with Parents for Joy, who has, in turn, worked with Game Time to develop the plans that you're going to see tonight. They've done so through a great deal of work and study on what's out there, what's available. They've visited other parks and playgrounds. They've really done their homework on this. And for a parents group, I have to say that we are extremely proud of them for putting things all together the way that they have. Game Time developed a plan for us, and we were able to finally take it before the Parks and Rec Commission in July of 2014. Parks and Rec Commission, quite frankly, loved the design and approved it. They did have some minor recommendations, including putting some fencing into the plans, and so what you'll see tonight is only very slightly modified from the original concept that was presented to the Parks and Recreation Commission, but not enough that we felt it was important to take it back to them. I think adding fencing and some other things were very minor additions, just to give you a full and broad scope of what the project will look like at completion. So that was approved in July of 2014. We've been, again, working with Game Time to make those slight modifications since that time, come up with the drawings that you're going to see today. I wanted to point out a couple of the design features that you're going to see as we go through this. And the first one is the fact that this needed to be an inclusive project. And again, that's a little more accurate. We're not building a playground facility just for children with special needs. We're building a playground facility that will meet the needs of all of our children, those with special needs included. And I've kind of shared my vision with a few other people that at many of our local playgrounds, you can go and you can see two kids running through and holding hands and kind of running up the slides and going down. And I have this vision with some of the design elements that we put in play to see a couple of kids in a wheelchair going, if they have things like wheelchairs or walkers that they're using. The biggest issue that we find time and time again is the surface. What kind of surface is used at the park? Typical chip bark, sand type of surfacing really do not work and work well for some of our children with special needs, and so we want it to be accessible. Another part of the design that you'll see, and I think we've really captured, and I say we because I feel like I'm part of it, but really Parents for Joy and Game Time have done all of this work, and I just get to come up here and take credit for everything that they've done sometimes. But the initial thought process was that they wanted a big ship and to have kind of a sea element to the design. And as they got into the process and really started looking at it, they wanted to keep the design of our playground in keeping with the local character. We are not a sea town. We're not a seashore type of a town. We have rolling hills and oak trees and creeks that run through. And I think you're going to see that they've really captured the local character of our community in the design, and how they put it together really is wonderful. And then just incorporated design. We didn't want the playground to stand out and be a separate entity from what's already at Colony Park. We're not creating a park. The park already exists. We are simply creating a playground at the park. And so we wanted to make sure that whatever design was put together would really mesh with what we already have at Colony Park. Again, I think we've captured that really well. I think that this will be kind of a seamless addition to the park as it exists now. It will only enhance and increase the usage of the park. And so we're pretty excited about the fact that it really does seem to incorporate all elements of what we already have in place with what we anticipate in the future. The area that we're talking about, this is a little bit of a closer-up view for you guys to take a look at. This was an early rendering, and so the final design is just slightly altered from this, but I think it really captures how the space will be used and where it is in relation to the parking lot, which you can see at that lower right corner of the photograph. The current Colony Park building, the bathrooms are located directly at the back of that building there and are accessible from the outside. Some of the fencing for our playground will have an opening right there at that location, so we'll have ease of use of the facilities. And then you can just kind of see that the main play structure is going to be located directly adjacent to Colony Park, the building. The swings are going to be towards the backside, closer to the back, and gotten to a different elevation without having to put in a series of ramps that were going to be cumbersome and difficult and take away from the usable space. So I think you'll see in the design in one of the later slides just a little bit of that element that we're very excited about as well. And so this is the design, a little bit changed from the orientation that you were looking at before. You'll see towards the left-hand side of this overview a row that is what looks like a ruler. It's actually a row of different swings. We'll show you a close-up of that in a moment. There is a gliding play structure that's covered with a shade. Looks like it's in the middle of that creek bed there that you see running through the middle of our structure. And the accessibility ramps are denoted there. You'll see that as we go through the design as well. That'll get you from what is the lower level, where the play structures are, to the upper level, where the swings are. And then the main design feature, the primary feature that is most notable and will be notable in the other slides, is this climbing feature. You can see where it's denoted. That will be the feature that is closest to the pre-existing building. And what you'll see with this overview and later on in some of the slides is this coloring of this poured-in-place rubberized court-like surface. That is one of our most important design elements, that and the fencing. And you can see from this overview that we're not content with just painting the town green, so to speak. We've designed into this some blue and green that go together, and we really want to make this look like the flora and fauna around us, green rolling hills, blue water, and a creek traveling through the middle of this little forested area where we have this oak tree that is now turned into a pretty cool treehouse for our kids. So that's what you're going to see as we go through the slides as well. Here's one view from the parking lot. If you were standing in the parking lot and looking towards the playground, you would see this view. You would have to be about 20 feet tall to see this view, but I think it gives us a good representation of what we're looking at. The swing sets will be in a line right in front of us. You see a couple of other play structures that I'll describe to you positioned throughout the new playground facility there. You'll see the gliding structure and the top is that climbing structure that I've talked about already. And then you see all the way around this fencing design. That's what's been added since we went to the Parks and Rec Commission. A child who might be an eloper and might take off and be a mile down the road before we can catch up to him. And so one of the early questions from our Parents for Joy group was, can we have fencing? It's the most important design element. And so you'll notice that the fencing is all the way around, and from the different views you'll be able to see where the access points are to the play facility. It's going to be about a 6-foot high fence. It'll match the character of what's out there already. I'll show you that in some future slides as well. This is really the main design feature of the playground. You can see the kind of hollowed out oak tree there in the background. That is the tree house. And from that, we get many different design elements and features. We have a couple of different play slides that they can go down. You'll notice that some are metal slides, some are plastic. some of our special needs children have difficulties with certain types of slides because it can affect hearing aids or other prosthetic devices. And so we've made sure to include elements for anybody. You'll notice on some of the different elevations, the slide structures and the play structures, that there are little wheels and things that look like circles. Those are actually design features as well that we'll get into as I go through the different specific design elements of the structure. And then one of the biggest things, and the reason I pulled up this slide, is just to show you the shade. We have a lot of our special needs children who have sun allergies or difficulties being out exposed to sun. We also know that Atascadero can be a little warm sometimes in the summer months, and so we want to make sure that the elements of play are cool enough so that it can be used year-round. And so the shade structures are built into our designs to keep those areas cool in the hottest of the summer months. And this is one more view. You'll notice to the right-hand side, that is our swinging structure that I'll show you in just a second. It's actually a glider. The neat part about that glider is you can roll a wheelchair out onto it, lock it in place, and somebody confined to a wheelchair can have that same sensation of swinging and gliding back and forth that the other children will be able to have when they're put into one of the swings. So a couple of the play structures individually I wanted to just tell you about. On our design, it looks like there's a lot of swings. And guess what? There are a lot of swings. The reason for that is because we wanted to make sure that we had the ability to have the child lean back a little bit more. These will accommodate some of our older special needs individuals who maybe are beyond that age of 18, but still have a desire to come out and be involved in the use of our play facility. So they've done a great job putting enough swings, just enough. Maybe we could add a few more even for their taste. There's a couple of other structures as well. You see this little disc or bowl in the upper left-hand side. Again, it's created and designed so that somebody who maybe can't sit upright could even lay on that, still have the sensation of swinging back and forth, rocking back and forth. The glider you see there on the upper right, you can wheel a wheelchair right out onto it. You'll notice the inclusive nature of it. Not everybody on that glider is in a wheelchair, but they're playing side by side together. Different kinds of teeter-totters, the bottom picture, and I can't decide whether I'm calling it a seesaw or a teeter-totter, but depending on what you call it, that's what it is. And those elements, you'll notice it looks like a dragonfly. And so we wanted to, again, keep with this consistent theme of the flora and fauna and what you're going to find in nature. Here we have some of the other play elements, those circles that you saw on the play structure. A lot of them have sensory types of play elements in them. Somebody who is blind, for instance, can go up and touch that board and has the ability to interact with it. Some of the leaves that are used as dividers between the play areas actually have different elements on them. Some of them, depending on what they purchase, even make noise. They're powered by the sun, so you don't have to worry about a power source. Some just are sensory, so you can touch them. This little egg design. We have a lot of our children in the community who can get overstimulated, and so they can climb into this little egg and kind of retreat into that and still be out there with the other kids and still have the ability not to deal with some of the overstimulation that occurs in a regular play facility. Surfacing, again, is very important. You can see some of the designs on the left-hand side and the creativity that is there. The right-hand side is a picture from an earlier design, and it's a little different now, but you can see how it all blends together. Those blue areas are intended to be a creek flowing through our playground, flowing right by a tree that is dead but has turned into a tree house. And so our little glider that sits there is actually a glider that rides on the water, maybe a small boat riding down this little through it. It doesn't detract from the appearance of the playground facility. Parents don't have to always be inside the playground. They can sit just to the outside. We're going to have benches positioned all along the play structure on the concrete pathways so that if a parent wanted to sit outside and allow their child to go in and play, they could do so. I really do believe that this is one of the most important design elements of our playground, one that I'm very proud to say we were able to accommodate easily within the design. Again, the fencing area is going to be around what currently exists as this grassy area. The concrete would not be altered much from what it is. And so that final slide is just to kind of show you what the fenced-in area would be. And again, I think it would be still able to see through the fencing to the different areas of our park, including the basketball courts, the petanque courts, and bocce ball, all the way over to the softball fields, and still have great lines of sight for our play structures in the facility as it exists. Just before council questions, I know that slide's a little deceiving. I did want to invite the applicants up from Parents for Joy. They've informed me that, that Game Time was not able to send their representative as we had anticipated, but I know that they are able to answer questions for you as needed. I would ask them to maybe come up right over here. You can start this way. It's okay. They're going to go through just real quickly some of their presentation, and then we'll open it up for council questions, and then right at the end they do have just a short video presentation to show the council something that they're doing already to help with some of their fundraising efforts. So.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us tonight. We are really excited to be here and excited to finally be at this stage of the game. This is my daughter, Tiana, and she is 7, and she has Down syndrome and autism, and Precious, and not allowed to elope and get married for a very long time. But one of the things, I was raised here in Atascadero, so I was raised practically at the Lake Park. We lived by there. And so my husband and I, after serving and doing our work internationally, we decided to come back here and raise our 4, almost 5 kids we're going to be having. And it's just a real treasure. Atascadero is a real special place for me. And I am really excited about the possibilities. They have waived fees and certain things, and I just feel, so I just really want to thank Atascadero for that. It's really an honor to be here and to raise our children, and it's really exciting for the possibility of having a playground that will serve everybody. Atascadero has hidden children. My daughter's in the regional program, and so I would bring her to school, and we see these children, they're in wheelchairs. And then they're connected to oxygen, some of them, and they are very, very limited. And we have them here, right here at Atascadero. We don't see them because a lot of our children that are in wheelchairs and that have different disabilities, we don't bring out into public because public is very hard for them or it's hard for the parent. And so to have a place that we can bring our children where everyone can play, where there's something for every child, is really something unique. It is inclusive, our park, but I think it's a little bit extra special because though parks are moving into that direction because of the knowledge of disabilities, ours is being built first with all of the disabilities in mind and being made for everybody. That makes it special. It makes it very unique. I think it will put Atascadero on the map because a lot of times I tell people where it's going, and they, the community center, what's that, where's that, you know, they have no idea. I really believe that this will put Atascadero on the map. I believe it will generate people coming through. It will help our downtown area. I heard speculation that we may host the next Special Olympics. I think it's going to, Atascadero has worked hard to make the community center very open for all special needs, and so I think it's just fitting with that whole area and the heart of Atascadero. So I just wanted to share that we're working with fundraising. I believe it's going to happen. There's grants and a huge one through Game Time and some other large ones, and so that is in the works.
Hi, my name is Sarah Sullivan. My son is 7, and he's in a wheelchair. He has cerebral palsy and autism, a few other things added into that. Going to playgrounds has been very difficult for us because we have sandboxes and he just gets to sit there and watch everybody else play or else crawl across the sand, which isn't bad. I know when we take our son, there are ramps. I know the Atascadero Lake Park has a ramp that leads out and we'll be on that ramp. And if someone's trying to get around us, we're in the way. So by having a double wide ramp, we take that problem away. Chief showed our millions of swings. We actually have 12 on the swing set, plus the big dish swing. We have them ranging in size from the taut swings to the belt swings that are standard, all the way up to a swing that holds 250 pounds, because we know that Atascadero has a very large group of special needs adults. We see them walking El Camino and going on their little field trips. I'm sure they would like to come and play, and we wanted to make sure that there was a swing that accommodated them so they didn't feel left out. The poured-in-place ground, it's $150,000 just for the ground cover, but a lot of other playgrounds use it as a pathway, and what they do is they put it next to sand or they put it next to wood chips, and that starts to go down, and then there's a big drop-off. My son is actually tipped over at other playgrounds wheeling on the pathway, so we wanted to make sure that that was not going to happen, so that's why the entire ground is poured-in-place rubber. That was super important. The fencing is number one. We have kids that run. We have kids, we have families that have multiple children that are watching one, and it'd be nice to be able to know that they're safe. We have one entrance to the fence so that we didn't have to put an older sibling or someone else on entrance number two because our kids find ways out. Some people said, well, why don't you put a shorter fence so that it's not so obtrusive and blocking the playground? I mean, my kid's not climbing because he's in a wheelchair, but I know the majority of these other kids out here, they're going to climb a fence, so that's why 6 foot or higher, if it's possible, was fantastic. Plus, it keeps people out at nighttime once it's locked up. The rock and raft that Chief has been talking about was really awesome. We were so excited that we found something that accommodated a wheelchair wheeling onto it. Like Janelle said, over at San Gabriel West here in Atascadero, they have the medically fragile children who may not be able to transfer from their wheelchair into a swing. Or, you know, or they're maybe just in their wheelchair and they don't have a lot of movement at all. They're hooked to oxygen tanks. We wanted them to be able to wheel on there, have their family and friends sitting there. There's actually 6 seats along the side so that they had something to play on that they didn't have to transfer. They didn't have to just sit and watch everybody else play. Because, I mean, I know those kids over there, there's some of them that are 18, 19 years old who've probably never been to a playground because what's the point? They don't want to sit and watch everybody else play. This way they have someone wheel himself up there with his own chair and feel like he's up in a tree. We've added braille panels. We've added sound panels. We've really taken into account every type of disability that we could think of. We had all the slides designed, and then someone said, well, have you heard about cochlear implants? They can't go down the plastic slides because of static. I had no clue, so I went and did a bunch of research, found out that that was true. So we added in stainless steel slides, and we pointed them north-facing so that hopefully they don't become too hot. We do have a bunch of shade sails that we have added. Over time, if we see that there needs to be some more added, it can be easily added to the structure. Game Time has made sure that, you know, the posts will be open-ended, kind of, so that we can add that if we need to. But this playground, it's going to be so opening for all of our lives, as well as hopefully other kids and other families. We want our kids to play side-by-side with the typical children, so that they know that our kids are just kids and they can play together. You don't have to worry about it. They're not as fragile as they look. So we have a little video.
Just real briefly, before we go to council questions, thank you.
Thank you.
You run the show. I don't even need to be here. I like this. I just wanted to retouch on something that Janelle had said. They are in the process of fundraising for this project. One of the hindrances, they've done a great job already, no doubt. Raised a significant sum of money. But one of the hindrances in going after grants is the fact that we didn't have an approved design, and that's why we're here tonight. Once they have an approved design, a council-approved design, they'll be able to go after a great number of grants that are out there to get the funding that's going to be needed to put this project together. Also, they've been working with a great number of local vendors already to step forward, volunteer their time and effort and energy. We need a final approved version of the design so that we actually can start to the process of saying, okay, well, how much is it going to cost to pour the concrete? What's it going to cost to install the fencing? And we can start working with some of those vendors who have already volunteered their time, including a local contractor who, that's his job, is to install playgrounds. He's already said that he would work with Parents for Joy and would provide his services for free to install the playground once game time delivers it. That's amazing, but we think this project has touched a great nerve within our community. We do believe that that project is going to bring people out of the woodwork to donate their time, energy, and effort, allow them to do the fundraising.
Kids, other families, and to be able to be out. I understand that. So thank you, Chief, for that report. With that, are there any council questions? Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yes, thank you. Great idea. I think this is really coming together. It has a great vision. I think it will fit in very well with Atascadero. I think there's only one thing that's missing, and maybe it's here and I'm just not seeing it, but I don't see a name for the park, a sign for the park, whether it's an archway over the top that says Joy Park, let's say, or, you know, Creekside Park, or whatever it may be, but it needs a label so that we can identify it as we give and help you put this into place. So I was wondering, is there a sign proposed for this park?
Well, to start with, the park already has a name. This is Colony Park. What we're creating is a playground. I do think that's a wonderful idea that we in some way designate this playground with a name or some sort of signage. I think that's one of the things we would kind of look for from council is maybe some direction. The group has kind of associated themselves for quite some time with the name Joy. Some of the early renderings were done by Mark DeRees, one of our local planning commission members. His mom's name is Joy, and she passed away during that process. One of the participants in Parents for Joy has a baby that passed away during this process, and her name was Joy. And the idea that this playground would bring joy to a great many people has resonated with this group, and that's why they named themselves Parents for Joy. But to this point, we have not decided on, nor have we thought about what name. We were kind of looking for some direction from council, actually, on that before we moved forward. And so that is something we can take under advisement and start the process on, and would be happy to bring that back at a later time.
I think it would be great if we could get some input from those that are proposing it. I think the name of Joy is actually a nice feature if we can integrate that into the playground feature.
Excellent. Thank you.
Any other council questions? Oh, Councilwoman Moreno.
Great presentation. I'm so glad to see this come to fruition. It looks like, I think Sarah did say it is down to one entrance exit now, because I know in September you were saying it was still at two and that was a concern, so it is at one. Is that correct?
Yes, it is down to one. Okay. We've worked with kind of city staff to just make sure that was okay. There is no fire hazard. It's an outside structure, and so it can be just a one entrance, one exit facility.
Great. And I was wondering, where is the closest inclusive park, something like this? Where is the closest one to San Luis Obispo County?
I know they're building one in Nepal.
How does that need to be maintained or replaced, and is there grant funding for that kind of thing? How might that work down the line?
And once the park is built, the city would take over maintenance of the park, and that has been a concern to city staff because it can be quite expensive to upkeep and the facility. Parents for Joy has recognized that. They actually brought that to the table before we even mentioned it. They do want to do fundraising initially that would set aside some funds specifically for the maintenance and upkeep of the park into the next decade and beyond, and have already talked about the idea of maintaining their fundraising efforts even after the playground is open to ensure that there is a steady stream of funds available for the city to work with to maintain the port-in-place surfacing, the painting, and upkeep to any of the equipment or play structures that break. So that is something they're going to be doing. The more donations we get from people willing to step in and say, I'll do the fencing, don't worry about it, then the more their fundraising efforts can go to the long-term health and maintenance of our playground.
And that leads me to my final question. How can people donate? What's the website and how can people get more information?
Let's have them tell you. It's Parents for Joy, but they're very good about spreading the word. Slowly they're going to make their way to the microphone and share with you.
We are I'm sorry, I didn't mention we have a coverage with Parents Helping Parents, who, and we're all under the United Cerebral Palsy. And so we are a nonprofit, and you can go to United Cerebral Palsy website, and then there is a section for, we called it the Tascadero Special Needs Playground for now, because that identifies it specifically. So you can make an online donation through them, or you can make checks payable to UCP-PHP, and just put in the memo Special Needs Playground, and that can be sent to I don't have the address on hand. The United Cerebral Palsy office is in San Luis. Any information, you can go to parentsforjoy@yahoo.com. And if you have any questions on how to get money, we can answer that there. And we have a site, parentsforjoy.org, which is a really neat site, and that will direct you on how to make all of the donations also.
Great. Thanks, Jenna.
And we have a Facebook group book.
Can people that want to volunteer their skills and those kind of things, can they also do?
Hopefully the chamber and the city could put those links on our web pages. I think there was a lot of information there to take in, but if we can link that over, that'll help. I just want to make a comment. I'd like to thank you parents for, you know, bringing us to the city and the city council. I think it's something that a lot of us just don't consider, because we're not involved in it on a daily basis like you are. So I really want to thank you and all of the hard work and everything that you have done to put this park together. And Gerald, once again, you've done a wonderful job helping these folks, and I really appreciate your efforts. And I think I can speak for myself and probably the rest of the council that, you know, you'll have our 100% support for us. And if we have any problems down the road, it seems always we can find a little bit of money here or there to help out if we need to. So I look forward to proceeding hopefully faster than usual and get this park completed in our city. But thank you very much, everybody, for your efforts.
Any other council questions? No, we'll open up to the public.
Apologize for interrupting.
Oh, that's fine.
They would like to just end their presentation with a little short video that they've put together. Just before we open it up to the public, if you wouldn't mind allowing them to kind of show that video. It's just a few minutes long, and
that would be fine.
Really touches on everything.
happens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out.
Like to speak to on this issue, please approach the lectern.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I also have a daughter with special needs. Us mothers were sitting around a table one night. They were watching me cry and struggling with the fact that my daughter, I can't take her to any of the parks around here. I can't carry her and lift her and put her in the swings. She has to watch her for her three other siblings play. And I was at a loss. I was heartbroken for my daughter because she couldn't do the normal things that her siblings could. And when Sarah and Janelle came and told me that they went to city council for this project that I was crying over, my heart just filled with so much joy. Atascadero has shown so much support to this project that it's overwhelming. Not only is it helping our children bond with the children of the community, but it's helping us parents be able to bond with other parents. We are in a small circle of struggles that get bigger as our children get older. They learn how to communicate through being with other children and learning other children's reactions to things. My daughter gets scared of being around other children because she hasn't had that much exposure to normal children other than her siblings, because she can't play and meet new people on a playground. The fact that everybody has embraced where we would like to have the park at Colony Park is even more grateful to me. It's in a safe environment. We're right by the police station, right by the ambulance, right by downtown. It's bringing business when their tourists come. People will come far and wide. There's a lot of need for this. And I just wanted to thank City Council for everything that they have done to support us. And I wanted to thank Sarah and Janelle for everything that they have done to bring this to light. Making a dream into a reality for a lot of parents like me. That's all I wanted to say is thank you.
Thank you. Well, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Albert Amadova. I am the immediate past president of the Atascadero Kiwanis Club. And with me, I have our president, Glenn Casey, and a fellow Kiwanian, Tom O'Malley. When I heard about this project during my presidency, I still believe it's a very beautiful thing for this city to have and for us to be there to support them. And we will continue to support this Parents for Joy as the years continue and do what we can to help support them and do fundraising. And Glenn, would you like to?
Thank you, Glenn Casey. One group that we haven't touched on are the parents. Some are permanently seated. Mark Duris, for instance. He can't play with his children in a playground because he's in a wheelchair. This allows parents who have disabilities to be with their kids. And I think that's as important as anything else that's going on with this project. And we're thrilled to be a part of it.
Well, thank you very much for raising the funds. Thank you for all you do in our community. I really do appreciate the Kiwanis and all you guys do.
Thank you.
And your group. Thank you. Welcome.
Hello. My name is Justin Ferreira, and I'd like to do a quote by Winston Churchill. To every man there comes in his lifetime that special moment when he is physically tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a very special thing, unique to him and fitting to his talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds him unprepared or unqualified for the work, which would be the finest hour. I came here tonight knowing that the city would pass the playground, but what we need is the community to prepare us for the task at hand. What we have is a unique challenge, which helps every child, every person with disabilities in the community. And for a parent who has been the benefit of all the other parents that have worked for children with disabilities and parents, it would be the finest hour for us to do something to help them. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak on this public comment? Seeing no one approach the lectern, I'm going to close public comment, bring it back to the council.
I would like to say something.
Yes.
During the interim, I was able to look up the address that the one speaker was looking for on the United Cerebral Palsy of San Luis Obispo County, where she had mentioned as where donations could be sent. And the address is UCP of San Luis
Obispo. Sign for Colony Park, consistent with the Colony Park Master Plan.
I'll second.
Motions by Councilwoman Fonzie, seconded by Councilmember Kelly. Roll call, please.
Mayor, did we want to say something about the sign for the playground in there?
Well, I'd love to have a sign on there. I kind of would like it to come from the hearts of those that are most intimately involved with the project rather than the council. So I think it needs a name. It needs a sense of place to help you raise the funds. So I would just leave that in your capable hands.
Perfect.
Well said. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And Mayor O'Malley is coming back. And let's take a quick break. Let's take about a 7-10 minute break. I need to sign a paper, and thank you very much.
Welcome back after a brief break. Wonderful to hear about the Colony Park Inclusive Playground design. Next thing on the agenda is 2015 Special Olympics World Games. And I believe our city manager, Rochelle Ricard, will be presenting that.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. The item you have before you is the city participating. What the Special Olympics is looking for are host towns to host the athletes for a few days before the games begin, and the idea is to help them acclimatize to the area and the climate before the games begin. Because the cities within San Luis Obispo County are small jurisdictions, we're looking to serve jointly as a host town, and this will make the level of responsibility for each of our jurisdictions be somewhat manageable. So altogether, the county of San Luis Obispo will be a host county. Our county is looking to host 100 athletes. We're looking to host them from July 21st through the 23rd of 2015. We're not sure which countries those are. We have not been assigned countries yet, but we're looking forward to that, and that'll be made at the announcement which countries the county will host. What we're looking for from Atascadero, each of the cities will be hosting them for part of the 3 days. So the Cal Poly will be providing lodging, they'll be providing training facilities, and they'll be providing breakfast for the athletes. They're looking for the other host cities within the county to provide basically an experience of our county here and to provide dinners and in some cases lunches. Right now it looks like preliminary plans is that we would host the athletes on Tuesday, July 21st in the evening. And our preliminary plans are to have them join us for our famous Tuesday night barbecues in the park, enjoy our zoo, and then certainly enjoy our community band. These are all very preliminary. We'll be coordinating with the other cities to make this work. Our preliminary coordinations were that the North County, the best time for us to have them would be on the 21st. I believe on the 22nd they would be enjoying the South County, Arroyo Grande, Pismo, Grover Beach, and then on Thursday the 23rd would be enjoying San Luis Obispo and Farmers Market there. Those plans are subject to change, but that's what we're currently looking for. A countywide committee will be formed with representatives from each city. They've approached each city and each Chamber of Commerce. Linda and I have been talking about this. And they're looking for a representative from the city, the Chamber of Commerce, and a member of the community to sit on a countywide board and kind of spearhead this. We'll also be forming a committee to put this together and fundraise and do some of those other things in partnership.
I'll look to the lights, and could you restate the date of this event we will be hosting?
Right now it looks like we will be hosting Tuesday, July 21st, 2015 in the evening here.
Very good. Thank you. First, Councilwoman Fonzie, followed by Councilman Sturdivant.
Thank you. So if I understand this right, we'll be serving them dinner for approximately 100 on the Tuesday night and giving them a pass into the zoo, and they'll be listening to the music for free. So is Paso Robles or Templeton or any of the North County cities that are not participating but are on that bigger committee going to be helping us out with that financially?
So at this point, Paso Robles wasn't in the meeting that I was in for this, so I'm not sure what their commitment will be. So at this point, it looks like that it would probably be up to us to raise the funds for the bus and the other. That is very subject to change. We've only had one meeting. We wanted to get the word out. They wanted to get the cities to sign on, and then they'll do a countywide announcement as cities either opt in or out.
Well, I think we can pull it off without their help, but I think actually it would be nice if they were to participate as well.
Right.
So I would like to see them approached.
We're estimating that we probably will need around $2,000 in total for the buses, the food, and what other else amenities.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant.
So I'm assuming that the organization began yesterday for this, correct? I mean, when you talk about this committee and groups in July, I mean, there's a lot going on, and that's not very far away. So when does that begin?
So they want to announce before Thanksgiving that we will be participating. So they're trying to get a joint announcement between all of the cities, the county, Cal Poly, and others, and then we'll start organizing and getting down to work right after that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, do you expect each city to be approached about providing some activity, or is this something that it's fairly well set on activities and we could approach Paso to see if they would like to just partner with us on this event?
I think it's all very preliminary. The Special Olympics committee hit us up probably about 3 weeks ago. How about you and the Chamber, Linda, about the same time frame? And then we were just throwing out ideas. So there's a lot between here or there. It's more a matter of in talking with the chamber and talking with service clubs. Worst case.
Welcome.
Good evening again. Linda Hendy, the president of the Chamber of Commerce here. And we were very excited when we were contacted about this opportunity. I think it's right in line with what Atascadero does. We have a lot to show off with our great community spirit here. And we really are hoping that it is a Tuesday night. I think 100 dinners are very doable. I look forward to partnering if you decide to approve this evening. I think that my mind just starts reeling. I think we can get a meal sponsored by your dinner and sponsor a dinner. There's many ways to cover the cost of it. And I know that our chamber and our business community and all the people that come out almost every Tuesday would definitely be excited to support this and come out and enjoy this group that is visiting our beautiful town. So I'm very much in support of partnering with you in any way that I can help. Thank you.
Thank you. And it sounds like there was an expectation of some commitment of time and maybe have one or two particular representatives. What all is requested and what would be the time commitment?
At this point, we're not expecting it to be a lot of time. We're currently expecting it to coincide with other meetings that we have in the county. For example, if the chamber's meeting, then maybe, you know, we would tack on to that. If we do the Tuesday night in the park, we don't expect it to be a lot of extra work, certainly from city staff or the chamber. It depends on how excited people are to want to do more. You can make this as easy as possible or as difficult as possible, but we're not expecting hundreds of hours. I'm thinking more in the magnitude of 10 to 20 staff hours total, and that includes throwing out extra tables for Tuesday night and chairs and that type of stuff.
We can take care of that. Well, you don't need us to name a particular person. We can just all help out with this project. You just need us to commit as a city to participate.
That is correct. They're looking for a staff person to help rope you guys into helping out in other ways.
Excellent. Councilwoman Moreno.
I just wanted to say I'm excited to see this come forward. When we were at the League of California Cities several months ago, they brought this up and we all got packets, and I thought, well, that's nice, but that was a pretty big commitment. But the fact that the entire county is taking this on in San Luis, that is a big piece of it that they're taking. And thank you to the chamber. I think it's pretty exciting. That we're
a roll call,
lucky,
please.
Lucky for you. Okay. Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno.
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And with that, we'll move on to next item on the agenda, which is council announcements and reports. I will, as I always try to separate out committee reports from other reports, I'm going to have a free-for-all and just combine them tonight. We have plenty of time. So I'm just going to work from my left to my right, and you may say what you please.
Well, thank you. First of all, I attended the EVC, Economic Vitality Corporation, meeting about a week or so ago. And some important things are they're working with the county on trying to get airline service into San Luis Obispo that'll service, I think, Denver and Seattle. And part of the problem is they'll be bringing in larger aircraft, which requires some major modifications to the terminal. So I think the airport people are going to be approaching the Board of Supervisors, and I think it's going to be about a $30 million project. Nothing's been sealed yet, but they're going forward with it, and it looks like it might work out. It'll be really good for the county to have that airport service there. There also was a presentation by Stacy Jacobs from the County Tourism regarding the possibility of having a county T-bid. I think the chamber and some of our staff have talked about that already, so I think in the near future that may be coming before the city council. I thought it was a pretty good idea, and hopefully that'll coincide with our tourism program that we might be looking at in the future here.
I was talking to Dana Cummings the other day, and the Veterans Affairs office that we've provided for him here in the Rotunda building, he's already booked up for the whole month, next month there, and it looks like it's going to be a very successful program. Hopefully we'll have to add on some more days. So the veterans that I have talked to really appreciate it, that they don't have to drive all the way to San Luis, and they really get some personalized care here in our city. Tomorrow we'll be meeting at the Design Review Committee. One of the topics, I think, will be storage containers at business locations in our city. I think it's an opportunity for us.
That our police chief recommended that we vote for, and that was those who were scavenging in our trash cans and dumpsters. The thought was at the time we were in a hard time, and people were taking cans and bottles and redeeming them to help themselves through a very hard time. And my thought at the time was that it's better to have them doing something to support themselves than begging on the street. However, it's come to my attention that it's becoming more of a problem throughout the city, and I would like to ask the council if they support this to put this on a future agenda.
Yes, and we have received a number of letters, and I think I see a lot of heads nod. I think by consensus we'll bring that back. And Chief, I don't think you have to do any more work than you've already done. You have a proposal for us. Dust off that staff report. I think we'd like to take another look at it at your earliest convenience. I'll leave that to the city manager and the chief. Thank you, Councilwoman Fonzie.
And continue. The only thing I would ask is just don't say, I told you so.
He has never done that. I give him that credit.
Okay, very good. And in terms of reports, I went to an Air Pollution Control District Executive Board meeting. They're working through a lawsuit with the Oceano Dunes. Hopefully it will be resolved before our next council meetings. I'll be able to give you the results of that. But there's been issues over the dunes and what's going on with the dust that is blowing up on the Nipomo Dunes. They had recently a Huck Fest, they called it, where they had great big vehicles that would do flips off of the dunes and do all kinds of interesting things, but it would blow the dust all over, and there's been many complaints. So all of this is kind of coming to a head in South County. It's been a hot issue through the elections, and when things cool down a bit, we'll have some news, hopefully, that is rational and will work for those communities in South County. LAFCO has recently gone to a Cal-LAFCO conference, and one of the hot topics, of course, was groundwater basin management. And that will be coming back to us. I understand the staff will be having a report soon from the Atascadero Mutual Water Company. And just to let you know, that will be something that will be aired a bit at the Taft Barn tomorrow, put on by CoLab, if anybody's interested in going from 5:30 to 7. That's the end of my report.
Thank you. Councilwoman Moreno.
I went to, along with Mayor O'Malley, we went to the Solarthon a couple of weeks ago, and that's put on by Grid Alternatives Central Coast. And what they do is they help low-income families by putting solar on their roofs. And so what they did up at the People's Self-Help Housing up on El Camino towards the north end of town, the 100th system that they've installed. So I think that's a pretty big accomplishment in our area here. And the mayor did receive a note card of thanks that said, thank you so much for being Grid Central Coast's VIP during Solarthon 2014. The proclamation you presented meant so much to us, and we were excited about the future possibilities of working with residents of the city of Atascadero. We are extremely pleased to have been able to provide the benefits of solar to four very deserving Atascadero families. The support of the city makes such a difference in the way we're able to, in the work we are able to accomplish. So thank you to Grid Alternatives for the work that you do.
Yes, and they are partnering with People's Self-Help Housing. So it was actually a number of our local residents doing sweat equity into some building their own homes. And I shared the experience of growing up as a kid, getting to build a house with my dad that I lived in, primarily from used materials. But there's nothing like an experience to think back of not only learning practical skills, but think you actually built your home with your parents. And it was quite an experience to be there with these young families, and there they were literally building their own homes, often
with kids
yeah. in tow and learning. And you know, I think it's just a lifetime experience. I was very thankful, you know, our staff has worked with Self-Help Housing and with Grid Alternatives to provide these opportunities in our community. Very meaningful.
We did have our county mayor's roundtable that we do every month, and the topic this last month was primarily water, and we will be hosting an event similar about a water discussion coming up in December. I'll talk about that perhaps at our next meeting. The next mayor's meeting we'll be hosting here in Atascadero, and we're going to be talking about the koi program, not the fish, but the program as a local resident has developed that we'll be working with youth and that needs some assistance with education and programs. So I'll give a little update on that at a future meeting after we do our presentation with the countywide mayor's group. And I will also be sharing with all the mayors about the SPICE program. So I think if I just have that information to distribute, that will be good. The Integrated Waste Management Authority, I currently sit as the president of that organization. Yes, it is the group that passed the ban on plastic bags a year ago. Currently a topic coming up probably will be revisiting plastic bag issue, but more so in the future, the issue that's being, which gives us quite a bit of credit with the state on some of those issues and reduces a lot of the need for other disposal. So that's a good possibility. I was very pleased that, again, we have secured an alternative for our recycling center that looks like that'll save our community, I believe, about $6,000 a month. And that is something that we've been able to get a lot of help through Integrated Waste Management Authority in securing a private provider. There's still work to do on that, but we did have some questions how that was going to work out. And again, we've come up with a solution. We will not have a San Luis Council of Government meeting this month, but again, we'll meet in the following month, and we are reviewing major projects. We just went through prioritization. Hate to say it, but yes, Del Rio is on the list along with all of our other major interchanges. Much like we do in our city, where we have every street in our city is prioritized on our to-do list, ranked by safety issues and costs of maintenance, we go through that process as a city to determine what's the next best thing to do. Well, we basically do the same thing at San Luis Council of Governments. There's several priority lists, and there are different levels. And again, we looked at basically every one of our overpasses is somewhere on that list. And again, it's looked at a lot of criteria, especially helping with the climate action plan with vehicle miles traveled. Again, that is why the Del Rio overpass happened to score so highly on this countywide rating, because it is an opportunity to basically make some great progress on reducing the commuter traffic. You know, it is, as we've often discussed, our business plan is our climate action plan, because it is the one opportunity where if we actually just shop at home for the things we're already buying in other communities, it will meet most of our financial needs, but it'll also meet our climate action plan needs. So we'll just keep monitoring that progress over the next few years. It too is a long process. We will have a Regional Transportation Authority meeting Wednesday next week. And again, we are still monitoring the consolidation of our bus system countywide. And through that consolidation, we were able to reduce costs locally. And again, those funds are